fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
If you still draft quarterbacks in round one, we're here to help.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, Wednesday, September 7th, Football Eve. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Kreeth Taumings, that is Chris Towers and Heath Cummings, sharing a brain, and Dave Richard out sick today, would you believe it? And you know, you look at your roster right now, your drafts are done, except for some of you still drafting tonight. There's a lot of work to be done, guys. I'm sure that if you look at some of your winning rosters, they are very, very different at the end of the year from what we see at the beginning of the year.
You can't draft well enough in most leagues to win a league without good in-season management.
You know what's funny is, I helped a friend of mine draft last night, and I drafted in a league where you have to start one running back,
yeah,
two receivers, tight end, flex, defense, kicker, quarterback, whatever. Not a lot of changes need to happen if
right.
you draft well and don't get hurt in this type of format.
Right.
And so the one league where I did it for myself, not helping my friend, it's my wife's coworkers. And I said to my wife afterward, I said, I don't know if I have to touch this team again. It's just one of those, like,
right.
my first three picks were Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Allen Robinson, because
yeah,
they took six quarterbacks in the first round.
It never works out quite how we think.
No, obviously, you know. But it's there are circumstances where things could clearly break your way, but, you know, as I'm sure we'll all tell everybody,
you know,
this is half of it.
I finished last season in my home league with, or started the season with Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, so I felt exactly the same way last year.
Yeah. One of those three were good.
Hey, Chris, what's going on, man? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh,
thanks for the invite.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you on. Now, we got a fun show today. We're going to do our bold predictions, which are very cliche, and they're all over the place. But you know what? They're still very fun. We're going to give our Super Bowl picks, pick every division, pick the wild card. Nice comprehensive preview of Carolina and Denver on Thursday night. These Thursday night season openers are usually very high-scoring games. This year could be a little bit different. How about this? My favorite player, arguably, in the preseason, C.J. Anderson. I think I'm sitting C.J. Anderson this week in a PPR league, and I can't even believe it for Marvin Jones or Michael Crabtree. Am I crazy?
Not for Marvin Jones, if that's who you're sitting him for. No, not at all.
Crabtree's close, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call. It might be a game-time decision, but I think I'm going to
You should have come to this discovery on C.J. Anderson before you drafted him everywhere.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I'm sitting him is because I have D'Angelo Williams, so...
Ah, yeah.
You know what the fun thing is? I don't know if you guys fall into this as well. You draft this week, and this might be interesting for you, Heath, because it's the first time you're actually doing rankings that
right.
we could see.
Right.
Is drafting after you started doing your week one ranking.
It's awful.
Because, like, I just had a choice. I'm in a slow draft. I'm in a slow draft, and I don't like Phillip Rivers this week. The top three quarterbacks available to me were Rivers, Stafford, and Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
I like Rivers the best. For the season, but I hate him the worst for week one. And so it was like, they're all close.
Right.
Do I want to take the one that's going to get me off to a good start for this week, or do I want to take the one that I have a longer term value on?
Oh, you have to take Rivers.
I did, but
good,
it's one of those situations where, like, I made a choice in a few leagues to take Spencer Ware over Charles Sims because I'm looking at, like, my team and, okay, who could I start this week? Because Adam, like you, I took a lot of CJ Anderson stock. I took a lot of, Jeremy Hill stock, Carlos Hyde stock. I don't love these guys this week, but if I get Spencer Ware as my fourth guy, I could bench one of those guys still maybe have some long-term value there. It's very interesting when you draft after the week one rolls over.
You mentioned a name, and that's somebody actually I'm getting more excited about for week one than maybe I was for the season. That's Charles Sims, and I had forgotten until I started seeing some talk about it on Twitter just how bad the Falcons were against pass-catching running backs.
Oh, they were awful.
They gave up more receptions to running backs than any other team in the NFL. And maybe they won't be exactly the same this year, but I don't know that enough's changed to where I would think they wouldn't be.
And you saw it in the preseason, too, in the third game against the Dolphins. Foster's biggest play.
He's a sneaky start, too.
You know, it's interesting. You look at week one and how you're going to make your decisions, and a lot of it is going to be based on last year. But then week two, most of it's going to be based on week one. You know, so much is going to change, and it's hard to know what's going to carry over from year to year. But I mean, look at this email we got from Kenny, our email of the day. Kenny says, hey, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Chris, do you know who those four people are?
Never heard of them.
Oh, yeah, me either. Should I bench Cam in week one to start Carson Wentz against Cleveland? Chris Towers, would you bench Cam Newton for Carson Wentz?
No way.
That's no, like, a little extreme, right?
I, you know, Heath and I have had the conversation about like RG3 versus Cam Newton. I think that one's a little tougher, but Carson Wentz coming from FCS, he had 38 snaps in the preseason.
39, give him credit.
Oh, sorry.
Stop 39. Poo-pooing FCS.
I don't think he has enough exposure to high-level competition to make him worth starting in week one, even against
But if you were, like, I'm not sure he's going to see high-level competition in week one.
They're NFL
players.
Would you, I may be mistaken on this, would you say something about Flacco?
Versus Cam?
Or versus I'm just saying Flacco is a quarterback, right? Delaware is not an FCS school, right?
No.
Yeah, no, they're not. They are an FCS school. Yeah, you would probably say that, but
FCS. His
first NFL game probably wasn't. Trying to think of what Flacco's first game was. Now
he probably also played more in the preseason.
You're not sitting Cam Newton for Wentz. So.
No, but there's plenty of quarterbacks we didn't have ranked in our top 10.
Sure.
That we would start over Cam this week.
Sure. All right. We'll get to that a little bit later. It's kind of interesting. But it's not just going to be week one stuff. We got a lot to talk about here. So here's our tweet of the day from Noah. Fab prices for Spencer Ware and others should be discussed on today's podcast. Tanks. Do you agree? Should we be talking about fab prices right now?
Well, and this doesn't apply to Adam, but when does the Scott Fishbowl fab start? Next week, right?
After week one, yes.
Right. And then in the flex leagues, Adam, I don't know if you.
Oh, yeah. I put in my fab bids last night.
Right. So did I. Not for Ware, but for somebody else, along the same lines, which I'm sure is not hard to figure out, of a running back who's considered a back.
I did the same exact thing.
I put a lot of money on him. So
I didn't.
You didn't?
It's so tough. Yeah. Cause, all right. It's Chris and Michael. You don't have to say how much you put on. I know I'm not going to get him. I think I put about $8 out of 100 on Chris and Michael.
You're not going to get him. You're not going to get him.
But I put in, there were three or four guys that I really wanted. There were some wide receivers. And this is so tough because I don't know who in my league is listening. And they don't, you know, the bids don't get processed until about 7 o'clock tonight PM. So I could put myself at a real disadvantage. At the risk of doing that for the sake of the podcast, I'll do it. I also put $8 on, Kenny Stills. And maybe one other guy. It's a league that's more wide receiver heavy. And I know that if you're doing fab and you drafted early right now, there are some interesting guys. Spencer Ware was not available, but Michael was. Kenny Stills was. Tajay Sharp may have been. So there are some interesting guys out there, but there still are 16 more weeks. So I didn't want to, you know, put 20% of my budget on someone.
About
that's, you know, going to be in a timeshare at best. Even if I'm going to be able to start him in week one, like Kristen Michael, you know, I didn't want to go overboard.
I think the timeshare, the way to say that, but the timeshare is the most likely. I wouldn't say the timeshare at best. Like, there's still Thomas Rawls gets hurt and then Kristen Michael's all of a sudden.
Or Michael's just the starter. I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's not the same thing as where Charles. Charles is a proven guy.
Right.
That has a resume and a relationship with Andy Reid that spans, you know, 3 years now. Whereas Rawls is an undrafted rookie free agent from a year ago. There's no monetary investment in him. And so they don't have to necessarily cater to him being the guy.
Do you?
I think they want him to be the guy.
Totally buy into the depth chart that Michael's the starter week one? Or do you
think? Well, I think it's just the whole picture.
Right.
It's what Pete Carroll said, what we've seen in the preseason, who they're playing, what point of the year it is. There's no reason to rush this guy back. And look, we thought when he first hurt his ankle, oh yeah, okay, maybe he plays next week. And then it was, well, now we need surgery, he's out for the season. And then it was, this dragged on all off season to the point where we got one little glimpse of him in the fourth preseason game where he was a backup. So it's not like they're even, you know,
played what, two snaps?
Yeah, I think he's not right.
Who, Thomas Rawls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, just from everything you look at, like think about the preseason. And again, it's a preseason. Who stood out to you from the running back position as a whole? There was the two guys from Tennessee. They both played really well.
Yeah, right.
Jeremy Langford.
Langford. And I mean, Michael's got to be in the first five guys you name.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And so I don't think that's a coincidence.
You know who didn't though? Spencer Ware.
No, Spencer Ware did.
Spencer Ware absolutely
did. Not in the third preseason game. It was terrible.
No, but in the entire preseason, he
scored a touchdown, but he was absolutely dreadful with yards per carry.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't look
one at out of four
when you're getting, you know, maybe 10 carries.
That was the most important game.
Yeah, but how much work did he have?
I don't know. Probably. I feel like he had like 7 carries for 8 yards. Something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Off the top
okay.
Of my head.
I mean, you can't really judge that fully. And
I'm
say
not
that's
judging
like
him. I'm just saying he didn't stand out.
Well, no, you're saying he didn't stand out in one game out of four in the preseason.
Yeah,
the most important
here.
One.
You're nitpicking here.
He had 9 for 24 and a touchdown. And
okay,
four catches,
7 for 8, but
four,
that's still
four catches
bad.
For 26.
Yeah, the 4 catches 26 for him is like a career best maybe ever. I think you got to look at it and say, you're Seattle. What's the best thing for your team? Run Chris and Michael out there, see what he could do. Let's get Rawls right. And if Rawls is really your guy that you're going to commit to, make sure he's 100%. A la what the Chiefs are doing with Jamal Charles, make sure he's right and make sure he's 100%.
Let's wrap this up. Give me a percentage that you.
I love how we yell about backup running backs at the beginning of every show.
Give me a percentage you'd put on Spencer Ware right now.
If it's just trying to get a good player, 20%, what do you say?
I was going to say 26.
$26?
26%, yeah.
26%.
Well, $26 is 100. Yeah. But, yeah.
That could be a big waste. Yeah, I understand that you'd probably need to do that to win him, but you know that's a little risky, don't you
well,
think?
Take it for what it's worth, but our projections have him as the number one running back in standard leagues for this week.
Yeah. I stopped at number 9 when I was moving up, but there's a few of the guys I've got ahead of him that I'm not totally sure.
I mean, how much of your fab budget would you trade for an extra 8th or 9th round pick in the draft? Because that's where he ended up going towards the end of the draft season.
Oh yeah,
it's a good point. That's a really good way to frame it.
And the other part of it is, what if he wins you your week?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know that winning one.
There's
week.
Only 13 of them.
One week is you. If you give me a choice between 26% of my budget and one win, I'm taking one win.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely. Okay.
Give me 4 wins, I'll take no fab.
Well, Adam,
and I'll play the rest of the year.
It's the same situation. What would you pay for D'Angelo Williams right now?
Oh, that's 3 weeks though.
Okay, but what would you pay for him?
And
again, I'll go back to what we said yesterday. You don't know that Spencer Ware is not 3 weeks.
I would pay about 20% for D'Angelo, and I guess I just have a different fab approach. Fab ends up being so disappointing. I mean, there are just so many examples. You think you got it nailed, and it just doesn't work out for you. And
that's true, but there's nothing more disappointing than getting to week 13 and having $73 left.
Oh, yeah, I never do. I certainly spent. Remember last year I spent on the wrong Bills running back?
Did you pick up?
Booby Dixon?
Booby Dixon.
Oh, that's right.
For like $15 or something like right. that?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this is... I almost feel like... first off, league size matters. Because if you're in a deeper league, like the flex leagues are what? Where you have 18 rosters? 18-man rosters, something like that?
Yeah, they're big, yeah.
16-man rosters. So finding these free agents that are guaranteed to play...
Yeah.
It's not the... You know, bad idea to spend your money early
on. Somebody's going to spend 30 or 40%.
Yeah, like in the fishbowl, like I was looking at it, you know, these are 22, right?
Yeah.
In roster or something like that. There's not going to be a lot of great free agent options throughout the course of the season.
Sure.
So if you know a guy, especially when you draft early and you know these situations have kind of clarified themselves, it's better to, you know, get those guaranteed players now.
Okay, so news and notes. Ezekiel Elliott will not face domestic violence charges. Kristen Michael is atop the Seattle depth chart for week 1. That doesn't mean Thomas Rawls won't play. So would you rather start Kristen Michael, CJ Anderson, and Jonathan Stewart? How would you rank those three? Michael, Anderson, Stewart.
I would go Michael, Anderson, Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on what the news is on Friday or Saturday about Michael. But as of right now, I'll go Michael, Anderson, Stewart. And I'm probably need to update my rankings to reflect that.
Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I think you'd probably rather start Michael, even if he's only going to get 60% of the workload or whatever it is.
The tough thing's going to be on Thursday actually making that decision. Could you get a bench Anderson and Stewart on Thursday?
Right, exactly.
Without news about Michael.
Well, let me clarify. As of now, I'd take Anderson just because of the certainty of him playing Thursday night. I would definitely take the chance on Michael over Stewart.
Yeah. Yes, there's no chance I'm starting Jonathan Stewart.
I don't want to act like Carolina's run defense was impenetrable and Anderson can't do anything. I mean, he had a very good game in the Super Bowl. I'm not that afraid of CJ Anderson this week. Stewart is another story, though, right?
I mean, you saw what Stewart did in the Super Bowl, 12 for 29 and a touchdown, and he doesn't catch the ball. He's going to take 20 carries for him to be good and or score, and they didn't give up a lot of rushing touchdowns at home last year.
You know, that game, that Super Bowl, was the only game since week 5, I believe, last year, that Jonathan Stewart had less than 19 carries, except for week 17 when they beat the crap out of the Falcons and he got 10 carries. He only got 12.
He played in that game?
I think he got 10 carries in that game. Yeah, so they just, I think it was like 38-0 or something like that. More on that game coming up in just a little bit. Ron Rivera said that the Panthers might spread out their wide receiver snaps this season, not just this week. We know that Kelvin Benjamin reportedly on a snap count, but I don't know. He's got a pretty decent unit of receivers, and are they just going to use them all more and feature Kelvin Benjamin less?
This screams motivation to me.
I don't know.
You don't think so? I mean, it might actually happen. I'm not saying it's like completely crap.
But that doesn't mean that Benjamin's going to be horrible. I think the thing you got to look at is when Kelvin Benjamin was with the team as a rookie, the receiving core was awful, among the worst in the NFL.
He was viewed very much coming out of college as a project, as someone who was going to need some time to develop into a player.
But, you know, you figured red zone threat.
Yeah.
You figured, you know, jump balls down the field, and that's kind of what materialized for him. But since he's, you know, when he left last year, he got hurt. Ted Ginn is a role player. He's not a good fantasy player, but he's a role player for the Panthers where he'll get some opportunities to take some shots. We saw it in the preseason game with the big touchdown. And Devin Funchess is a guy that they're very fond of. You factor in Greg Olsen. That's a decent receiving core for a player of Cam Newton's caliber who's going to elevate those guys. And
well,
so it's just spreading the ball around, which makes sense.
Right. And they've got, like, they don't have a collection of wide receivers that all have a grasp of the route tree. They've got like 6 guys that combined can run the route tree. You got Ginn to run the fly. Right. You got Benjamin to run the post. You've got Funchess to run the back shoulder fade. Like, they don't have guys that can run multiple routes.
And you have a running quarterback on a team that would prefer to run the ball as much as they possibly can and dominate time of possession. So Benjamin, to me, is a guy that I moved him down another spot in my ranking, season-long rankings last night. He's outside the top 24. I think he can get close to what he did as a rookie, which was very good, but I think that's the ceiling. I don't think he's going to, you know, break through that.
And he did that on 145 targets.
Yeah.
We're talking more like 120.
And 2 of his touchdowns, for what it's worth, came from Derek Anderson that season because Cam was hurt. Not that would have, you know, changed, but still, it's just, there are some just things that you look at him and you say, okay, the big step forward, I don't think will happen.
Agreed.
And to what he said, you know, you hear me talk about third receivers a lot. That second year is huge for them, you know, because that's when you learn the route tree. You learn how to, you know, deal with getting away from coverage. You learn how to, you know, find the ball from your quarterback a little differently. And he lost that.
You know, it'd be interesting if just based on watching the preseason kind of look like maybe I could see it going down this way, that both the Seahawks, more so the Seahawks, and the Panthers could open up their offense a little bit and let their quarterbacks be, you know, 2 of the best players in the NFL.
Well, the Seahawks did it in the second half last year, and everything they've said is that they want to continue that. Now, we'll see if that's actually true. I don't think they have to in week 1. But the Seahawks opened it up in the second half last year.
They did. I felt like they did a little bit more in the preseason than I had seen in the regular season. But we'll see. Those guys are great. If you gave them the ball and asked Russell Wilson and Cam Newton to throw more, I don't think they would be less efficient. Well, maybe a little less efficient, but they'd still be really, really productive. So,
well, I think, and also with Cam, he has the best receiving core he's had in his career, except for the.
And so does Wilson.
He still doesn't have as good a receiver as Wilson.
But they both have good. If you factor in Greg Olsen, I think they both have good weapons.
Depends on if Jimmy Graham's right or not. Sure.
All right, I got to tell people about a few podcasts here. The Roughing the Passer podcast is back. The SEC on CBS podcast is back. If you like NFL, if you like college football, you will love those shows. Go to cbssports.com/podcast to find out more and to subscribe for free. Fantasy Football Today, our video show, is back. That is live noon Eastern, Tuesday through Friday, every single week. That is a great show hosted by Nick Costos. You will get a lot of good information on this podcast and, of course, on that video show. So we encourage you to watch it. And 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday, we have that live video show as well, 11 a.m. Eastern until kickoff on Sunday. There's a Thursday night show at 7 p.m. There is a Sunday night show. So a lot of live video on CBSSports.com to help you with your fantasy lineups. And, of course, our radio show, Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Please tune in. please call us up. You can listen online at cbssportsradio.com or check your local affiliates. Sean Hill is atop the Minnesota depth chart for week one. You think he's going to start?
Yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And don't rush Bradford out there.
They can beat the Titans with Sean Hill.
Whoever starts, they're just handoff, and handoff.
Titans DST, are they at all a sleeper this week?
No.
No. Okay. I wrote about my favorite week one sleepers, actually, and they were not one of the six.
Niners?
The Niners were number six just because I wanted to give somebody a deep league option.
So who's number one?
Well, I did it in segments, three that you get at the end of the draft if you haven't drafted yet, and then three that you can pick up off the waiver wire.
Okay.
Off the waiver wire, the Niners were one of them. The Giants are only 40% owned, and I think they could definitely produce some turnovers against Dak, and then the Bills as well, just 40% owned. Everybody, like, I thought everybody was going to believe in Rex, and they didn't. And then the late round options.
Bills are so banged up, though.
They are. They are. So I don't think, even if banged up, there's any way the Ravens can run the ball on them.
Yeah, but Trestman and Flacco, I don't know if they have to.
Right. They may not. That's who they were.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And the Saints signed Will Lutz to replace Kai Forbath at kicker. And everybody, stop what you're doing. Get your cell phone. Download the SeatGeek app. You don't need to use it right now, but the next time you need tickets, this is the app that you need to use. SeatGeek is the best way to buy or sell tickets online. It's the clear choice. You want a one-stop shop to find tickets from multiple websites? That is SeatGeek. You want $20 back after your first purchase? We can help you do that on SeatGeek with our offer code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, FFT. Just remember, next time you want to go to a game or a concert, SeatGeek has created an app that makes the process so much easier. Remember our podcast, remember our offer, and remember SeatGeek. Download the app for free right now and start searching for tickets. SeatGeek will tell you what's going on in your area. I started searching for Yankees tickets last night. I was watching the game. I got really mad because the fans were so bad. I think it was rain last night, but still, I was hearing Let's Go Blue Jays chants at Yankee Stadium, and I'm like, no, I got to go to the game. I got to represent. So I got the SeatGeek app out. $7 tickets. I'm thinking about going tonight. I hope I can pull it off. But yeah, SeatGeek makes it so easy. And you know what? I can splurge for a little bit more because I'm getting $20 off my first purchase if I enter FFT when I'm checking out. SeatGeek is going to pull in seats from multiple websites. You're never going to miss a deal. SeatGeek ranks the seats based on value, or you can sort by price if you just want to get into the event. There's no reason to use any other website anymore. It's all about SeatGeek now, the only place I go for tickets. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT. FFT is in Fantasy Football Today. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code FFT. All right, let's look at Carolina and Denver, guys. Chris, I'm going to start with you. First, I want to say that the last 5 years of these Thursday night openers, Green Bay 42, New Orleans 34, Dallas 24, the Giants 17. That was the Kevin Ogletree game. 8 catches, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Spend your fab wisely. That was the only road team, by the way, in the last 5 years to win on these Thursday night games. Denver 49, Baltimore 27, Seattle 36, Green Bay 16. A terrible game for Aaron Rodgers. Could happen to Cam Newton. And New England 28, Pittsburgh 21. You see a lot of points scored. This is the stars in the spotlight here, and they do their thing. So, Chris, what do you think in general here about the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton?
It's an exceptionally tough matchup for them. Denver was the best defense in the NFL last season, I believe. He really struggled with the pass rush in the Super Bowl. I guess you figure he's going to have Kelvin Benjamin that he didn't last season, but it's going to be hard to start Cam Newton in week one. And it's going to be hard to sit him, given that you probably invested a fourth or fifth round pick.
Yep.
That's the problem with taking a quarterback that early, even one as good as Cam Newton, is that, like, if he runs into a bad matchup, you almost can't sit him because did you really invest? I don't know. How many people are investing in a backup if they're taking a third round pick on Cam Newton?
Oh, what? Most casual fans take two. That's the thing I think that we get sort of caught up in is, you do the right thing by waiting on quarterbacks. in most cases, you're still only going to take one.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that take Cam in the first or second round.
Yeah.
And still take two because they just look at the bye weeks, not necessarily the week one matchups. The question it becomes is like, where are you willing to risk it? You know, and Keith alluded to this earlier, like how many guys you talked about this a few weeks ago, Adam. It's not like it's a great slate of, or a bad slate for the guys that we really drafted. You know, the Rivers is one because he has the Chiefs and a bad history there. Outside of that, I mean, the top 10 or 12 guys really have good matchups, you know, and then it comes down to, do you really want to start Matt Ryan over Cam Newton, who has a great track record against the Bucks, or Brock Osweiler against a very bad Bears secondary? I mean,
I think it's mostly Carr or Stafford. Like, is one of those two your backup?
Yeah, but I think you know, especially if you've been listening to our show, the people who drafted Carr are probably the Brady owner, you know, and that's somebody that has to be replaced in every league anyway. So, yeah, you could see the person drafting Cam and Stafford or Cam and Carr and saying, I'm still going to go with Cam.
What would you do? Give me some guys you'd start over Cam.
Oh, those two, Tyrod Taylor. And I actually think Blake Bortles is going to play well this week in a typical Blake Bortles game where they're going to be chasing points and he's throwing in the fourth quarter.
You have Jameis Winston ranked ahead.
Yeah, there's another one. Jameis too.
All right. Any disagreements, guys? Jameis Winston against, who do they have this week? I'm sorry.
Atlanta.
You know, you got Carr in that excellent matchup at the Saints, Stafford against the Colts. Matt Ryan against Tampa Bay. Well, no, you wouldn't quite go that far, would you? Would you start Ryan over Cam?
No, but again, if you are playing it smart, then that's probably the smart way to go.
For me, Carr and Stafford are the two guys I would definitely start over Cam. Tyrod as well. The rest of them, and I'm not as high on Osweiler. RG3 is my Osweiler this week, so I think that's a borderline decision. Ryan's in that borderline decision, and I think... I can't see the one guy I wouldn't probably is Rivers.
You would not.
Yeah, that's a tough matchup. If you're going to sit Cam Newton, it should probably be a situation where you've got a really good matchup for the guy that you're benching him for, and Rivers doesn't have that.
You got to feel like it's a slam dunk, and Cam's not a slam dunk this week, so you got to look potentially somewhere else. Like, well, to me, Cam's ceiling is about 20 points, and so I think if he just doesn't turn the ball over, he could throw for one, rush for one, have minimal yardage and still not sink your team this week.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those situations where how comfortable do you feel? Like I have a situation not with Cam, but like with Rivers, where I drafted Rivers and Brady. I'm not gonna pick up three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my chances with Rivers and just kinda hope that he falls into 18 points. It doesn't crush me.
And if one of those clear choices over Cam are available, you can't get too caught up in the what you paid for him, because we're all fine if you have the guy, the good matchups with benching C.J. Anderson, and in most of our drafts, at least, he was going before Cam was.
Yeah, but you go into the season.
Four or five of those
guys.
Yeah,
you go into the season understanding that at some point you're probably going to have to sit one of your good running backs.
Yeah, but you're not paying any more for Cam than you are for that guy.
No, but you probably already drafted someone that you would feel relatively comfortable playing.
Right.
At running back, that might not be true. And in my case, I don't know if I have a backup quarterback.
Well, you don't have Cam on any of your teams either.
Sure, but I don't think I have a backup quarterback in any of my leagues either.
Right. I think, like Jamie said, that's the, what do you think, 80% of teams have a backup quarterback?
Well, it might be more.
Considering Marcus Mariota was 84% owner, whatever it was yesterday.
I would say 85%.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler was like 30% owner.
All right, so listen, guys. Just to finish up with the Panthers here. We want to do everything we can to avoid starting Jonathan Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so like...
Especially PPR.
Duke Johnson or Jonathan Stewart?
Duke.
Standard, I'd go Stewart. PPR, I'd go Duke. I'm just afraid of Duke with RG3. I just don't know what to expect from him.
Yeah, I do know what to expect from Jonathan Stewart. You're hoping he falls in the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
He might. I mean, he gets a touchdown, then he probably beats Duke.
I could see 4 points for each in a standard league.
Those wide receivers that we've been talking about, Tajay Sharp, Kenny Stills, some other guys who are in that late round range. Are you starting them over Kelvin Benjamin? Is Kelvin Benjamin kind of a must sit?
I wouldn't go that far with some of those guys. Maybe like Sharp and PPR, not Stills against the Seahawks.
No, I'm starting more like the Willie Snead, Matthews, Michael Crabtree group over Benjamin.
Yeah.
But I've still got him. Like, there's another receiver in this game. We're going to have with the Broncos in a second. I've still got Benjamin one spot ahead of Emmanuel Sanders.
Who do you feel good about in this game? You gotta feel all right about Olsen, right? That Denver wasn't good about against tight ends last year.
Feel great about the defenses.
Yeah, I mean Anderson, I think from a skill position player is probably the best bet. And look, Demaryius got shut down and really taken away by Josh Norman. The Panthers' cornerbacks are very young, so
yeah, I'm most likely starting Demaryius wherever I draft.
Yeah,
him. I'm most likely starting Olsen and Cam. The rest of them are up in the air for me.
Yes. I think that's a safe bet. And Sanders, look, he was bad at home last year. I didn't realize how bad at home he was. He had two games where he actually played well at home last season. So he was their best receiver in the Super Bowl. But again, that was because the Broncos and their AARP quarterback was staying away from Josh Norman.
Yeah. Oh, boy, this is such an interesting game. I mean, the Super Bowl champs with a brand new quarterback who's never taken a snap, you know, in a regular season game.
Oh, that's not true. He took a kneel down once.
All right.
Come on.
Never thrown a pass in a regular season
game. Do your
game.
Research.
Sorry. We just can't get the stats right with the Carson Wentz one we got wrong. It's just fascinating. People are going to jump to conclusions after week one, but this is a tough matchup for Simeon to jump into. And then you got the reigning MVP going up against the toughest matchup, I'd say, in the NFL. It's kind of interesting if you look at Cam Newton's last three games, you know, in the postseason last year, he scored 12 fantasy points against Seattle, but didn't exactly play poorly. He just didn't have the stats. Then he scored 39 fantasy points against Arizona, and then he scored, eight fantasy points against the Broncos in the Super Bowl. So
yeah, anytime the last three games that you've played are against the three best defenses in the NFL,
right,
it's going to look a little wonky.
Yeah, now of course Arizona didn't have Tyrann Mathieu, but still, I mean, he put up 39 points. We know what Cam Newton's capable of doing. That was a home game though, and it was not at Denver. Alrighty here. We have some buy or sell to get to. Let's do some bold predictions first. Chris Towers, lead it off. Give me some bold predictions for 2016.
Well, I'll stick with a theme that we've been discussing. I'm going to go ahead and say Devin Funchess has a better season than Calvin Benjamin does.
Ooh.
Which doesn't necessarily mean either will be very good for fantasy purposes. I think you could see it where one of them has 850 yards, the other one has 830 yards, but Funchess gets more touchdowns. That's what I'm saying.
All right, Heath, give me one of yours.
Gio Bernard scores the most PPR fantasy points of any running back in his division.
Wow. More than Le'Veon.
Well, he's got a three-game head start.
Woo!
All right, he's got to be about 22% better, or 20. He's got to be within 80% of him per game, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
Gio Bernard,
good stuff.
Number one running back in the AFC North.
Wow.
In PPR, all right.
This Isaiah Crowell disrespect is.
Jamie, what you got? Bold prediction.
Jerick McKinnon will start six games for your fantasy team this year.
Woo.
Yeah, man, you love it. God, if Jared McKinnon has a good year this year, you're going to win some type of award.
Maybe he gets hurt.
Yeah. You've gone a long way down the path of predicting an injury.
Yeah. Chris,
good track record for these guys.
I don't know how many you guys have, by the way. I'm thinking like three-ish. Is that fair?
I'm making them up as
you want.
As the
you want three per person?
Oh, thanks, Jamie. I don't care. I have three.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'll give my first. All right, which team do you think I'm going for here?
The Giants.
All right, now what do you think my bold prediction will be?
Victor Cruz will be better than Sterling Shepard.
Oh my God, verbatim, Victor Cruz will be better than Sterling Shepard, right off my notes, which I didn't give to you, just to me.
Rashad Jennings scoring 10 touchdowns must be round two.
No. It's my only Giants bold prediction. Victor Cruz will be better than Sterling Shepard. And Victor Cruz will be one of the most added players after scoring a touchdown in week one at the Cowboys. There you go. All right, Chris Towers, we're ready for your second one.
The Broncos quarterbacks in 2016 will throw for more yards and touchdowns than the Broncos quarterbacks in 2016. That's not that high of a bar.
Let's see if you figure out where you messed that up.
What's that?
Let's see if you can figure out where you messed
that
up.
Okay, he did say the same year twice,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, same year.
That's
bold. Like,
that would be incredible.
I'm only halfway done with my can of Diet Coke, so you'll excuse me.
So
more yards in 2016 than they did in 2015.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That was 3,970 yards in 2015 and 19 touchdowns.
I like that. I'll take the over.
I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Okay.
Yeah, bold would have been like they'll throw for more than Aaron Rodgers last year. He didn't have that great of a year, you know, for him.
You just choked me up.
He almost died.
I almost died.
Heath, round two.
Let's say Tyler Lockett will score the most fantasy points of any wide receiver in his division.
Oh, more than Larry Fitzgerald?
Yep.
More than Kenny Britt?
Yes.
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the Cardinals guys are the only...
Well, Doug Baldwin.
And Doug Baldwin.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jamie, Torrey round Smith. Two. Do you have something here?
Or Torrey Smith. yes. Will Fuller will lead all rookie wide receivers in touchdowns.
Hmm. Okay. Are you finding yourself drafting Will Fuller a lot? Do you have him on teams?
I have not, just because of the way that I draft. But in this slow draft, I am looking at him, and I think he's going to score in week one against that inept Bears secondary, which I think Tracy Porter is going to play, but I'm not sure the other two of their top corners are.
Okay. I'm up. Amir Abdullah is this year's Devontae Freeman. Big breakout. Looking forward to it.
I like it.
Family tree would love it.
I like it. I don't know. I think he moved out. he moved away.
And that might help him.
Chris Towers, round three.
The Chicago Bears will have 2,000-yard wide receivers.
Oh, I like it.
Eddie Royal and Marcus Wilson?
Yep.
That wouldn't be the first time that Jay Cutler's done that.
No, it would probably be the second or third time.
Like the third time in the last 5 years, I think. I like it.
Yeah, I like that too.
I will go with Michael Thomas leads the Saints in receiving touchdowns.
Wow, that is that's pretty bold.
Thank you.
Jamie, you're up.
Let's see here. Jameis Winston is this year's Blake Bortles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very bold.
I think he'll play better than Bortles did, but he can do the stats wise.
And finally for me, you ready for this one? Kirk Cousins and Gary Barnidge will make us all realize they're actually good.
I had one more that I didn't get to. I might as well just say it now. Kirk Cousins will lead the NFL in interceptions.
Wow. Kirk Cousins was so good last year.
So you're predicting injuries now, too.
Why?
You think Bortles is going to get hurt?
No.
Last nine games for Kirk Cousins, not including week 17, which he actually had like four touchdowns. He threw 20 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and completed 72% of his passes and averaged just under 286 yards per game, on pace over 16 games for over 4,500 yards. I don't know how you, like, it didn't feel like Nick Foles to me. It didn't feel like that. You know, I don't know how you accidentally are that good.
It felt a lot like Nick Foles to me. Actually, Nick Foles was taking more chances when he was actually throwing the ball downfield. Kirk Cousins, it was a lot of short passes. There was not a lot that he was doing that I think was not replaceable. And the thing, those nine games were really good. He started 25. It's not like his career started 9 games ago either.
That is true. Okay, well, bold predictions in the opposite direction. I like it, Chris. Competing stuff. Let's play some buy or sell here from our listeners on Twitter. Mid-Major Matt, buy or sell, Kirk Cousins will be better than Big Ben.
Sell.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, so.
Okay. From Matt Vink, buy or sell, Jeremy Hill finishes as an RB1.
It's certainly possible.
Sell, but yeah, what Chris said.
I'll buy it as a bold prediction. Like, I don't think it's going to, but as a bold prediction, it's a good one.
Man, yeah, that's the best backfield in the NFL.
It is.
He's definitely one of the guys I'm most excited about having on my teams this year, just at the value I got Jeremy Hill at.
I've ended up drafting him in so many spots. I hope you're right.
Yeah, I hope so too. From Jason Hopkins, Jordy Nelson finishes the year as a top 5 wide receiver.
Sell, but it's, I mean.
Could happen. from Helmer, buy or sell, Spencer Ware as a top 10 running back in week 1 against the Chargers.
Bye.
I think we all have him ranked that way. So yeah, bye.
I want to look, did the Chargers run defense get better at the end of last year when they started getting Denzel Perryman in there?
I'll tell you.
Was that?
I will tell you.
Yeah, because somebody told me that on Twitter, at the end of last year when they were starting to do a little bit better, I thought.
Well, week 17, the Cockroach went for 117 and a touchdown for Denver, and C.J. Anderson went for 95 and a touchdown in the same game.
That was a bad one.
Week 16, Latavius Murray went for 19 for 79 and a touchdown, so his yards per carry wasn't good, but he also had 5 catches for 38 yards. Week 15, the Jay Ajayi-led Dolphins had 6 for 27 and a touchdown, while Lamar Miller only had 9 carries for 12 yards.
Oh, that was that was the most frustrating thing of the year, that Lamar Miller game.
So they only allowed one 100-yard game. Well, Spencer Ware in week 11 went for 11 for 96 and 2.
The defense it as a whole did not really improve as the season went on, for what it's worth.
They gave up a lot of production to running backs, but they didn't give up a lot of 100-yard games. Like,
they got better. Is it fair to say they got better?
I mean, they were 25th in DVOA for the season. They were 25th in weighted DVOA.
Is it fair to
say
they got better, though, as the year went on?
I don't think so.
I would say no, just based on the last two games. I mean, the fact that, especially in week 17, now that was the...
That was terrible.
That was the checkout game after the emotional game in week 15 against Miami when they thought they were closing the stadium.
Right.
So they went into Denver and gave up 200 yards rushing to Cockroach and C.J. Anderson and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't think they got better.
Okay. Buy or sell from G. Adam's fiance can do more push-ups than him.
100%.
Oh, after meeting her? 200%.
That, you make her seem like she's like some tank.
No, she is arguably the tiniest person I've ever met.
Yeah, she can't do more push-ups than me. I don't even know if she could do 5.
That said, she is 100% better at doing anything athletically than me.
Boy. I think you misread that.
Wait, hold on.
You're confused. Wait. Being small helps you do push-ups.
Is pushing the remote control athletic?
I mean, it isn't, but I do that a lot more athletically than she does.
Well, of course, because she actually leaves the apartment.
100% she can do more push-ups than you.
Here's what the day was last week. Adam came from home, got on a train, went to the event at Slate Bar, New York, went out to dinner with his family, got back on the train, went home. She came from doing stuff.
Yeah.
So she saw sunlight.
She came from socializing with her friends.
She saw people. Yes.
She doesn't have the same level of atrophy in her muscles as Adam does.
That
like,
is true.
Like hers are actually being used on a regular basis.
Hey, I took out the recycling last night, okay? She didn't.
Listen, man, going to the door to get delivery is tough.
I am pretty
good
at that.
Taking the hair out of potato salad is very tough.
Who could do more push-ups, me or Chris?
Chris.
Chris, what do you think?
Chris, would you like to be part of our push-up
challenge?
The
thing that really helps...
It's like Heath said, is that being smaller helps. I'm a lot bigger than Adam.
But you've got an advantage, and it's your short arms. You don't have to go very far.
He's not T-Rex.
Yeah. little velociraptor. Chris Towers
over winning that battle, for sure.
I don't know.
I like how though we set up this push-up challenge, and Dave all of a sudden got sick.
Yeah, right? All right, let's go back to buy or sell. Buy or sell from Adam White. Sammy Watkins will be a first rounder next year.
So,
I like it as a bold prediction.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if he played 16 games last year at the level he finished, he would have been a monster this year without the foot injury.
Buy or sell from Jonathan Bowers. C. Michael outscores Rawls in fantasy points this season.
I'll say sell, but
sell.
I mean, it's not a hard one to buy. So,
from Greg, buy or sell, there will be over 2.5 Stranger Things references on the podcast.
Ka-ching.
That's only one so far.
It's a good show.
Over.
Hey, Chris, it's pretty good, right?
It's really good.
Yeah.
There we go.
That all counts as one reference. From Clint, Rob Kelly will outscore Matt Jones in any format. And by the way, in that Fab League, I do have a bid in on Rob Kelly. But
me too.
How much did you put in?
For him? Oh, I spent, I think, if I get everybody I got, then I only have like a dollar or two left for the season. So
I know. It's scary.
Yeah, I put in a bid for him. I think it was maybe like 11.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I have no chance. Maybe I need to up my game a little bit.
Oh, I might be getting confused with the fishbowl, though.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just saying, if you... It doesn't matter what league. If you put 11% of your budget on Rob Kelly, then somebody's going to do
that.
Yeah,
but the fishbowl one is 22-man rosters, so it's a little different.
All right, all right.
There's slim pickings.
All right. Let's see. Buy or sell, Rob Kelly will outscore Matt Jones in any format.
I'm not ranked that way, but I could certainly see it happening.
So, yeah, that's another one that like sell, but I buy it as a bold prediction.
And last one, buy or sell. Matt Stafford has top 5 potential. This is from Alex. Matt Stafford has top 5 potential.
All right.
Buy.
Sell.
Buy.
If it's going to be top five, it's going to be like one of those Dalton years from 3 or 4 years ago, whenever it was, where it doesn't really feel like that.
Right. So, you can just discount it over the next 5 years and just pretend like it didn't actually
happen.
Can't
it be like what happened to Bortles last year?
All right. I'm just not. Oh, no, it could be. It could be.
I could see a very similar situation because he's going to throw a ton of picks. He's going to throw the ball so much.
Yeah.
Stafford has proven to be an inefficient quarterback.
It would take some down years from guys that we weren't, like Aaron Rodgers was number 7 quarterback last year, you know? It would take circumstances like
But that's
going to
happen.
I'm not a Stafford believer.
Like, there will be quarterbacks that have down years this year, almost for sure.
And get hurt. I mean, Luck would have been a top 5 quarterback if he stayed healthy last year.
Who would have?
Luck.
Oh, yeah, probably. Not according to Heath, but,
well, according to numbers, though.
So it's time now for our NFL predictions, guys, and then we'll finish the show with some emails and some tweets. All right, let's start with the AFC East. Give me your winner. We'll go Chris, Heath, Jamie. I got to get this from Dave, too, somehow. But I'll text him.
Are you writing this down?
Yeah, all right.
Good.
I will. So hold on. Let me make a little chart here. Chris, Heath, Jamie. AFC East, go. Chris.
Patriots.
Patriots.
Yep.
Patriots. Agreed. AFC North.
Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati by a couple games.
Steelers.
Ooh, I've got Cincinnati as well. Jamie has the Steelers. AFC South.
Indy.
Texans.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, it's just Andrew Luck has absolutely owned that division when he's been healthy. So I went with Indy, but yeah, that was a tough call. AFC West. And I think it's kind of a tough call.
San Diego.
Wow.
Nuh-uh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, maybe okay. San Diego.
I'll stick with Denver.
Chiefs.
Ooh, and I got
Denver.
It was
between the Chiefs or the Chargers.
All right, Heath and I have the same picks. I like that.
Oh, can I change one?
Nope, not yet. Two wild cards here. Chris, do you want to give two wild cards?
Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Heath.
Kansas City and Houston.
Yeah, Bengals and Colts.
Pittsburgh missing the playoffs for you, huh, Heath?
Yep.
All right, I have Houston and Pittsburgh. So I have Kansas City missing the playoffs. Jamie,
reasonable.
Who you have missing the playoffs that's noteworthy here?
That's noteworthy?
Yeah. Denver? Yeah.
Denver, yep.
Denver missing the playoffs. Okay. All right, let's go to the NFC. Chris, start in the East. Who you got?
Do I have to pick a team to win this thing?
who's going to lose it the least?
The Giants?
Yeah, Giants.
Yeah, Giants.
Redskins will
no,
be the
got,
first.
He's got Kirk Cousins as the best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, the first repeating champs in the division. Oh, God. I think it's been over 10 years. It's the most unpredictable division every single year. And nobody's on the Redskins. Okay. The NFC North. Chris.
The Packers.
Man, this sucks. Packers.
Yeah. And to me, that's the biggest runaway.
It's just not. I need to pick something crazy in these last two divisions.
Yeah, I got the Packers too. NFC South.
Yeah, it's not a great division to pick a crazy one. Carolina is so far ahead of everyone.
Yeah, Panthers.
Jamie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get Dave's picks. Yeah, Panthers.
Yep, Panthers all across the board. NFC West. Chris, who's it gonna be?
Seattle.
Yep.
Cardinals.
All right, there we go. I got Seattle as well. Two wild cards, Chris Towers, NFC.
All right, wait, before you go, Dave's division winners in the NFC, Giants, Packers, Panthers, Seahawks. In the AFC are Patriots, Steelers, Texans, Broncos.
Okay. Who's wild cards?
I'm getting them now.
Okay. Chris, give me your two wild cards in the NFC.
Cardinals and Vikings.
Me too.
Cardinals and Lions.
Whoa,
really?
Jim Bob Cooter for life.
All right, that's a surprise. That happens every year. That's a lot of my picks are way too standard. I know I'm going to be way off. Who else you got? Lions and who?
Didn't I say Cardinals
Lions.
And Lions?
Cardinals, my bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, Cardinals and Lions. Jamie?
Yeah, Seattle and Minnesota.
Seattle and Minnesota. Yeah, I think everybody's got, like, Minnesota. It seems like everybody's got, except, oh, no, Heath does. Two North teams, two West teams, except Heath just has Detroit instead of Minnesota.
Dave has, in the AFC, the wild cards are Cincinnati and Kansas City. And in the NFC, Arizona and Minnesota.
The South and East in the NFC just suck.
I could definitely see the Saints being a wild card.
I could see the Falcons doing it as well, but
I see Tampa Bay.
Not expecting
yeah.
it.
Hey, did you say Cincinnati and Kansas City for Dave?
Yes.
All right, it's time for Super Bowl picks. By the way, the fact that four of the five of us picked the Giants to win the NFC East. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I think you guys are crazy. So, Super Bowl, give me your Super Bowl picks.
Dave has Packers over Patriots.
Oh, man. Okay. Let me go last.
I'll take Packers over Steelers.
Packers over Colts.
Colts, ooh.
Yeah.
Arizona over Cincinnati.
Yeah, I got
Bengals
Seattle.
Win a playoff game.
Seattle over Cincinnati. We need those Bengals to come through. Good stuff. All right, Chris likes the Packers over the Colts. Heath likes the Cardinals over the Bengals. Jamie likes the Packers over the Steelers. Dave, the Packers over the Patriots. And I like the Seahawks over the Cincinnati Bengals. And I like your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Eric in North Carolina. He gave us some interesting stats that I was unable to verify, but they're interesting anyway. They can spark a good discussion. Eric says, did you know that Dak Prescott is aiming to become the third fourth-round quarterback ever to start five or more games in his rookie season? The first two were Kyle Orton and Chris Wienke, who combined for 20 touchdowns and 32 interceptions in 30 games. And did you know that the last time Trevor Siemian was a starting quarterback, his team finished 12th in passing efficiency in the Big Ten? So what are the odds? And by the way, I think that's probably right because I looked up where they ranked nationally and it was like 112th or something like that. That was in total offense. Whatever. Their offense stunk. What are the odds that one of these guys is historically bad and tanks everybody around him, just like Orton in 2005 or Wienke in 2001 or Ryan Lindley or Jimmy Clausen, et cetera, et cetera?
There's a decent chance it happens. I think there's a better chance it happens in Denver than Dallas, just because Dallas, that offensive line is so good that I don't think anything's going to take Ezekiel Elliott down as long as he stays healthy. But Denver, there's definitely a risk of that.
I think it's two very similar situations and teams that would much prefer to just run the ball as often as possible and hide their starting quarterback. I think the odds that one of these guys is historically bad is much better than the odds that one of these guys is a fantasy starter.
All right.
But, you know, Kyle Orton did throw for almost 300 yards per game once in Denver. That thin air can help a bad quarterback.
Yeah, but not as a rookie.
Sure.
Then that's the thing I wrote about earlier this week is, like, we look at what Dak did in the preseason and you get excited and say, look at what's possible. But if some people will tell you you should try to ignore the preseason as much as possible, what if I just told you that a fourth-round pick was starting at quarterback and he needed two injuries to become the starter?
Yeah, I mean, there are misses in draft evaluations, so the fact that he was a fourth-round pick isn't a death knell, but it does make it very unlikely.
Yeah, Simeon's not a rookie either, so that should be noted. He took that one snap. He took a really good knee, if I recall correctly. So, Brian says, hey, Mikey, Lucas, Dustin, and 11.
There you go, that's two.
Stranger Things!
Ka-ching!
Given Jamal Charles's concern, would you trade Jamal Charles and Julio Jones for Ezekiel Elliott and Brandon Marshall in a 10-team PPR league? Would you give up Jamal Charles and Julio Jones for Ezekiel Elliott and Brandon Marshall?
I don't think I would.
No, but that's interesting. If you had said Mike Evans, I'd probably do it.
Okay. Instead of Marshall.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. I think I'd rather have Julio than Zeke, and I'd rather have Jamal than Marshall.
This is from Roto Balls. Am I allowed to say that?
You just did.
Yeah. I have Miller, Martin, and Lacey all starting this week. Lamar Miller, Doug Martin, and Eddie Lacy. Do I sub one of them out for Spencer Ware in a half-point PPR league?
Oh. That is tough.
Maybe Martin, but that's it. And you're fooling yourself at this point. Just stick with the guys you have.
I would stick with your starters, but I do have Ware rated ahead of Lacy.
Go try to
really? Wow.
Go trade Spencer Ware.
Yeah, that's the next thing I was going to say is I would talk to the Charles owner right now and say, let's make a deal.
The Rawls owner, the Le'Veon owner.
Yep, any of those guys.
Next email is from John. Should I start Demaryius Thomas or Marvin Jones this week?
I still would go Thomas just because I think he's going to get kind of the force-fed treatment in this game.
Yeah.
Whereas Jones could easily be better, but there are a lot of mouths to feed in that Detroit offense, more so than I think in the Denver offense right now.
Yep, I'll go Thomas.
Hey, can I please defend my honor about something here? It was kind of bothering me a little bit. You made it out like I completely undersold what Spencer Ware did this preseason.
He averaged like 3.5 yards.
Yeah, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. He had a good game against Seattle, 5 carries for 24 yards. So I'm supposed to get excited about that, but 2 games with 9 carries and 10 carries and averaging less than 4 yards per carry, and one of them averaging 2.7 yards per carry, that's me nitpicking? Like, come on, he did not have a good preseason. He did score a touchdown in every game, though. I just want to say that. Like, I'm not that crazy with some of the things I say.
Man, you know, when you said, I want to defend my honor, I thought there was a lot of different directions that could go. But the Spencer Ware wasn't what I was thinking
of. What, push-ups? Now, let me do some push-ups. All right. Brandon from Barnett, Vermont. 14-team PPR league. Nah, actually, we already answered this one. Am I wrong to start Jameis Winston over Cam Newton this week?
No.
I probably wouldn't. But it's really close. It's not wrong.
Chris, break the tie.
It's not wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Everybody agrees. And how do you feel about starting 2 running backs on the same team? I have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. I could, in PPR, could I survive or should I sit one of them for Melvin Gordon at Kansas City?
Not this week. I don't think Hill's going to play great, but I don't think Gordon's going to play great either.
No, I'd start them both.
It's not a great matchup for Hill at the Jets.
No. Yeah. I think I like the matchup for Bernard better because I think they'll have a tough time running the ball and probably have to throw it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. This email is from Butch from a medium-sized town on the banks of the Ohio in western Kentucky. Anybody got a guess?
Paducah.
Yeah. There you go. From dear Christian, Barry, Priest, and Spencer.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are good ones.
Conundrum. I'm not excited about CJ Anderson. Should I bench him for Kristen Michael? That's it. Should I bench him for Kristen Michael? CJ Anderson.
We talked about this one.
Yeah, I did.
I think it's, if it was both Sunday games and you knew that Kristen Michael was going to get the lion's share of the work, then it's an easy one. But since you got to make the decision Thursday night, not knowing where Thomas Rawls is going to do, then I would go with Anderson. You're going to get the questionable tag on Rawls, most likely.
Yeah.
And so with the new, do we really talk enough about the new rule, the new injury rule?
Ugh, no.
That people are aware of it?
It sucks.
So there's no more probable tag. And everybody's going to be listed as questionable in the NFL, probably from now until the end of time. So you may not know what the status is, even if a guy's practicing, he could still be ruled inactive.
Right.
Come Sunday or come Thursday. So when you get these situations of guys that are banged up, which I would imagine that Rawls is probably going to get a questionable tag, or Charles is going to get a questionable tag, you know, the ones that we're really monitoring, you probably have to assume in the situations that are leaning toward may not play or may not get a lot of work, go with that if you have to make a decision Thursday night.
Now, I do think if somehow, I don't think this will happen, but if he comes out as doubtful, if we see Rawls as doubtful, then I'd probably go Michael.
But we wouldn't get that until after the Thursday night game.
Right. You'll get what we usually get, which
is,
you know, the participation.
Butch from Paducah also says that he's a religious listener, downloads every day. I, too, have never seen Die Hard, but from what I understand, it is a good family Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sit
exactly.
Down with the kids, some hot cocoa.
Everything about Christmas, I mean, just ridiculous. Not a Christmas movie. This is from Mark in Milwaukee.
You redeemed yourself with the
here's three.
With the Spencer Ware stats.
Here's three.
Yeah, okay.
And then he just went downhill.
Mark in Milwaukee says, hey, Will Byers, Mike, Dustin, and 11.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
That's Stranger Things. With the snap count news and the stingy Denver defense, Jamie has Benjamin as a sit this week. Would you start any of these players over Kelvin Benjamin in a standard scoring league? Kenny Stills, Emmanuel Sanders, Sterling Shepard, or Corey Coleman?
No.
They're all the same. Some. No.
There's so much lukewarm on this.
I wouldn't be surprised if Benjamin scored.
Right.
He's not going to have a huge game, though. I mean,
yeah.
Aqib Talib and Chris Harris are, you know, forget about the snap count. He's facing arguably the best cornerback duo in the NFL.
All right, last email here, and we're going way over the over-under. This is from Daniel. I would ask where he's from, but that's a Dave thing. Can you please get your other co-hosts to explain their resistance for popular culture? If someone tells you about an awesome movie or book or, heaven forbid, a TV show like Stranger Things, you should probably go check it out and see for yourself whether it's decent or not. It doesn't make you a sheep who can't think for themselves. I think inside, your co-hosts are afraid to admit that they might like Stranger Things. Killer soundtrack, great 80s genre piece, great acting, original story. Yeah, take that, Jamie and Heath.
Give me a 15-second sales piece on it.
But has anybody said that it's bad?
No,
or that
you guys
we wouldn't
watch
check
it
out?
That's all.
Huh? All right. Do you like 80s Spielberg?
Yes,
I did this.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like synth music?
No.
Do you like Winona Ryder? Heath loves Winona Ryder.
Yeah, Heath is a big Winona Ryder.
Do you like, I don't know, the Goonies?
Yeah, it is very Goonies.
It's like Goonies. All these, it's like the Goonies and Close Encounters of the Third Kind mashed up together.
Yeah. I just don't have time to watch TV. Yeah. I don't sit at home all day long, so you know I don't have that.
Well,
Adam and I don't have kids, so we can spend time watching.
Exactly. You know what the funny thing is now about this? I've talked about the show so much. Everybody who's seen Stranger Things absolutely loves Stranger Things. And I, you know, it's when it's like people pass you in your rankings when originally you like a guy. Like, I like Stranger Things a lot, but I gave it like an 8.8 out of 10. I didn't give it a 9.8. Everybody else likes it more than I do.
Can I watch it with my kids?
Yeah, sure. It might scare them. I don't know how old they are.
Yeah, no, you definitely could.
With a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might scare a 7-year-old.
It's really like, it's not like gory or anything.
No, it's not. But there are some scenes that are going to scare a 7-year-old though.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
But I was watching, you know, my uncles were making me watch scary movies when I was 7.
And look how you turned out,
I turned
Chris.
Out fine.
You're a freak.
I turned out okay.
Yeah, you did. You're the man. That's Chris Towers, Heath Cummings, Jamie Eisenberg. Football tomorrow, everybody. I'm not going to do the big soliloquy at the end of the show. I miss Dave and his tummy ache a little bit too much. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll get you set for the AFC home games. With start or sit, we'll do the NFC home games on Friday. This is Fantasy Football Today. Enjoy your Wednesday night. Talk to you Thursday.
Bye.